If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello and welcome to Why Ally Lost, this week's edition of our discussion about why each player was voted out of Survivor. I'm David Bloomberg, and joining me is my co-host, whom I will finally get to meet in person this week at Know It Alls Live in New York City, Jessica Lewis.
Hello, and I'm very excited. I will be getting to meet you, and I'm so going to take a ridiculous amount of pictures with you, annoying you to no end. So that'll be amazing.
Great. Something to look forward to.
I knew you were going to love it. So I just be prepared. Be very prepared.
All right. Well, normally at this point, we would start by talking about our predictions and that we had made and things like that. But before we go any further, I think we need to address what is clearly the most important thing that happened in this episode.
That I was right?
No. That's later.
Damn it. Okay.
That's the second most important thing.
Okay.
It's when Ally was voting and she said, I just have to get rid of the strong. Yeah. So many people, myself included, wondered if this was a shout out to the old Rule 7. So I asked her about it on Twitter and she said, you could say that or the last fighting words that she hoped would stick. And I said I'd go with the former and she liked my tweet. So to me, that's 100% confirmation that my fellow suffering Bears fan, Ally, was, in fact, giving the old Rule 7 a shout-out.
I like it. Well, hasn't someone else given it a shout-out, too? I feel like it came up somewhere else, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of a different season. Anyway, I'll move on.
Yeah, not that old Rule 7. I have been shouted out before at least once. And that was by Sheehan when she was voted out. And she said, I schemed and plotted too much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say, I'm thinking it was a bad time for me to demote the old Rule 7 to an appendix. And I blame Rob Cesternino.
Damn it, Rob.
Yes, exactly. First we've had so many instances of people following it correctly early this season. And now we have Ally shouting out to that rule while voting. So. Mm-hmm. We'll hold off discussion of what happened with that appendix this time until we get there. But it is making me rethink that decision. And we'll see what happens the rest of the season.
Yes. And who knows? Maybe this is just one of the seasons that it's going to be very apparent that that's what people are trying to do or that's what they wanted to do. And then maybe next season it'll be the same thing it was the last two seasons. So you never know.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest problem was during the All-Star season.
Yeah.
When, everybody was a threat. But we'll address that later. Now, getting to what you thought was the most important thing, which was our predictions.
Yes.
Specifically for this episode. Well, we both got the tribe right, but only one of us picked the right person, and that was you.
I was so excited watching it, not because I want Ally to go home. Obviously, it's so horrible for Ally, but her being my pick and coming off of the week prior where my winner pick went home, I needed some redemption. So I was pretty excited that I was right this time. And I thought they did a nice job editing it to kind of make you think that, yeah, it was just going to be JP, the vote that should have happened, but didn't. So it was quite fun to watch. And I got to tweet at you about that, too. So I was pleased with the fact that my prediction was correct, considering my winner's gone.
Yeah. So. Well, it's funny because even when you said last week after I had given my prediction, you gave your reasoning. I was like, oh, that's actually pretty good reasoning. I said last week that I was getting ready to change my thinking on JP, but then I didn't. Clearly, I should have gone with my gut on that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we'll discuss that more when we get into the rules again.
Yes.
So that makes twice already now. I've said we'll discuss something more when we get to the rules. So I guess it's time to head in that direction.
So let's do it.
Yeah. So like Rourke before her, Ally was in a bad situation and was hampered by a lack of knowledge about the secret between Ryan and Chrissy. But does that mean there was nothing she could have done either before the swap or once she got there? What happened to put her in this position? Let's find out as we discuss why Allie lost. Now, once again, before we dive into the rules, I want to remind people that if you have not yet read all of the rules and the examples and everything that goes along with them, and you would like to, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. So with that said, we will start off, as pretty much always, with the first rule, which says to scheme and plot. How do you think Allie did here?
I think Allie did well scheming and plotting to a certain extent. I do think that a lot of people on, you know, Twitter world and online and that have been talking about her game really liked the game she was playing. And I did as well. I think she was doing a great job working within her tribe to maneuver herself through. But I do think that there was a problem with her scheming and plotting and that it relied so heavily on Ryan. And obviously that became her downfall. But overall, I think that she was probably one of the most strategic players that we've been seeing so far, because she's been kind of working through her options and trying to figure out where she wants to be in the game. And I thought it was interesting when she was talking about in her exit interviews that her basically her strategy going into this was to not really start playing the game until the merge. Which I didn't get that impression from her, that she wasn't playing the game, that she was kind of holding off until the merge. That wasn't the impression I got. I thought she was playing pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that she seemed to be in, you know, a great position at the start of the game. Maybe she has a different definition of playing the game. Mm. But, you know, in her original tribe, almost everyone was coming to her. And Steven even gave her the fishy for episode 2 because she established herself at the center of the tribe's web of alliances. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as just one example of her following the first rule, on the first day, she went to Lauren and said she felt like they were good and could click. And, you know, I think she was one of the few who seemed to get along with Lauren particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we look at the vote, she was on the right side of the vote every time until the Rourke vote. And I previously gave Allie kudos for getting rid of Patrick when it looked like he was damaging her game.
Yes.
So we found out in interviews that she never brought up his name, but nor did she put her own game at risk to defend him. And she was smart enough not to tell him he was being voted out because she thought he would go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's definitely very good at thinking things steps ahead and seeing where it's going to benefit her versus where it's not going to benefit her versus someone like Cole, who's kind of, you know, in the moment and immediate, and I'm going to tell somebody something that I shouldn't. And, you know, whereas that wasn't what Allie was doing. She was really kind of processing it.
Right. And, you know, then, okay, fast forward, we get to the swap tribe. And at first she seemed to be doing well again. She made a fast ally in Rourke. She still had the person she thought of as her, you know, little brother on the game, Ryan. That's a majority right there. So as far as she knew, she was good. The problem there, of course, was that there was something big she didn't know,
right,
which led to Rourke being voted out.
But this is where I think she screwed up.
Okay.
And that's when I was going through this and kind of, and I don't even know what rule this even would fall into if it's. I don't even know. I just, this was kind of my thought process, is that when they went into the swap, there's two healers, there's two hustlers, and there's one, or there's two heroes. Is that what I said? Two heroes, two hustlers, and one healer. Too many H's. And and I feel like if Allie was so close to Ryan, which she clearly was, and she wanted to use him to further herself in the game, and she even said he is by far the most strategic and social player. I don't know if she used the word strategic, but she definitely said social player. The fact that she aligned herself so immediately with Rourke was a bad idea for her game with Ryan. Clearly, because we've seen the relationship that Ryan and Chrissy had, which she didn't know about the super idol. But if your go-to person is Ryan, you need to have some serious discussions with Ryan coming into a swap like that and say, okay, these are our options. What's the best course to follow? I think if she had had that conversation with him, the Chrissy Allie issue probably wouldn't have been an issue, because if he had said to her, I want Chrissy, And if she's thinking, I want Rourke, they don't need Rourke. They've got the numbers. If they take Chrissy, JP's going to do whatever Chrissy wants. Rourke's an easy vote out. So as much as I wanted to see Rourke stay, I think that that's where Allie potentially messed up. She was described by Rourke, I think, as her sandwich, you know, that Allie was hungry and Rourke was her sandwich.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because now all of a sudden Allie had a young female that she could relate to. And you know what? If you want to be friends, wait till after the game then, you know, hang out after the game is done. Don't mess up the possibility of getting ahead or further along in the game and alienating yourself from someone that you're actually close to in order to start having a friendship or a relationship with this other person who Allie kept saying, I only knew this girl for 4 days. Well, you knew that girl for 4 days, but you put her ahead of Ryan. So I thought that's the epiphany I kind of had, because even the sleeping arrangements, when Rourke was talking about Ryan's sleeping arrangements and how Ryan was sleeping near Chrissy and JP, well, who was Allie sleeping next to? She was sleeping Rourke. Next to Rourke. So clearly, you know, we want to kind of blame, you know, that Ryan is somehow the cause of all of this for her. But maybe she helped create that wedge herself.
Yeah, I had planned to talk about this in the second rule as a bit of, you know, but you're right. It's kind of iffy, because is it really scheming and plotting too much, or is it the appearance of? And so what I would say is, you know, I feel like she did talk to Ryan, and Ryan told her everything was good with Rourke and told her that Chrissy was not on their side. And so from what I got out of it, he was acting like everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I would say is, from her standpoint, she felt he had nothing to worry about because they had known each other already and Rourke was new. But I then compared it to how one member of a newly dating couple might feel if the other one started hanging out and spending a lot of time with an attractive new person that suddenly came into their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, might one of them worry that things could change? I would say yes.
Oh, and I think they both did that. I think Ryan gravitated towards Chrissy and she gravitated towards Rourke. So they kind of screwed it up for both of themselves.
Right. And I think that you need to make sure not only that you're not scheming and plotting too much, because again, like I said, I had this, you know, as a kind of a rule two thing, but you also have to make sure that your ally doesn't think you're scheming and plotting too much. And like I said, it seems like Allie had talked to Ryan and he appeared to be on board, but you know, just like in a relationship, sometimes you have to realize that what the other person is saying is not necessarily 100% what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, honey, it's fine if you hang out with your old ex-boyfriend. It probably isn't,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's how I felt in that one. As far as, you know, kind of returning to what I was thinking about the first rule, I do think that Allie did go back to work after their blow up, which we'll get to after the Rourke vote. And, you know, she spoke to Ryan and then she did the right thing. She went and spoke to Chrissy and, you know, thought that she had succeeded. So I would say good job by Chrissy and Ryan making Allie think that she might stay, so she didn't totally freak out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just gets back to what I said last week, which was sometimes even a good player can get out schemed when it comes to this rule. And it seems like that's the case again, because she said in her day after video that she thought it would be good going forward to have tight people you connect with, but Ryan wanted to jump ship. It seemed so bizarre to her that he would jump over to the heroes when he already knew her and, you know, she didn't understand what he was thinking. And, you know, she's right. She didn't understand what he was thinking because she had no way of knowing about that secret connection.
Yeah. I still think it's so fascinating that Ryan has put so much, I don't know, importance
stock.
Into that.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Stock.
Yes. Yeah. Like into that super idol thing. Like, I honestly, I think it's all going to blow up in his face. I really like, I don't see it furthering his game, because it's it's a secret thing that I don't think Chrissy is actually going to want anybody to know about, because it honestly could be damaging to Chrissy's game that someone would feel like they need to help save her potentially from the first vote. And that maybe that wouldn't necessarily make her look good in the game. I really don't understand why he put so much stock in that. I really don't.
I mean, it could be that we know he's a student of the game. Mm-hmm. And obviously I am just spitballing here. He may know that older mom figure type women, if they make it to the end, they tend to lose to whomever they're up against.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can, you know, ride along with her all the way to the end, he has a pretty good shot. And I have some thoughts on her later in the prediction section, you know, as far as looking later into the game with her because of some of the things we've seen her do.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's thinking the same thing. Maybe it's not just the idol. Maybe he used the idol connection and now is saying, okay, what I see in her is something I can work with.
Yeah, but I feel like Allie could have helped him as well. I think that between Allie and Chrissy, at least from what we're seeing, I think as far as Ryan is concerned with those two options, Allie is a much more threatening individual for his game versus Chrissy being a threatening individual to his game. Like, I think that makes sense, that perhaps his utilization of Chrissy in his mind is, if I bring her to the end, I'm probably going to beat her. Whereas Allie, I don't know, because Allie was very likable, exceptionally likable. And I think that probably would have been or could have been his downfall.
Right. And I suspect we'll get into that more in a later rule.
Yes. I like to jump around. This is hard for me. I have to stay in order. I'm not good at it.
All right. Well, we'll move in order back to rule number two, which we've already hit on somewhat. Now, I have to say, okay, so the second rule talks about backstabbing too soon as one way scheming and plotting too much might occur. And there's been a lot of discussion, both online and in other RHAP podcasts, about whether she did just that to her Auburn buddy, Patrick.
Oh, my God. Yes, I have this, too. I'm so excited. Okay.
Well, we'll see if you agree with me when I'm done here.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean, some people asked me about it right afterwards, and I told them what I'm about to say. But then I've heard a lot more people staking out very significant positions saying she shouldn't have done this. This was terrible. This was horrible. And, you know, that by doing this, it caused the series of events that led to this vote. Some even said getting rid of Simone was a problem and that, you know, getting rid of people who were loyal to her is what put her in this position. So I want to be very clear about my position here. That's baloney. Okay. Because who was she supposed to push for in those situations? Getting rid of Lauren? How would that have helped?
Right.
Getting rid of Ryan? She said they had a great relationship and she was in with Ryan and Devin, and her social bonds with them meant even more to her than her past with Patrick at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some have said that she's on the outside of that duo, but clearly she didn't feel that way. Now, even though we know that they were keeping the big idol secret from her, but in her day after video, she was still saying that getting together with Ryan and Devin was her best move of the game.
Yes.
Even though it obviously correlated with the worst time in her game. So any claim that she should have done anything differently back then, first of all, it's 2020 hindsight with additional expectations of omniscience and the idea that she somehow would have ended up in a better situation after the swap. And, you know, we have no idea what would have happened because the swap introduced too many possibilities. Let's say that she kept Patrick around. Would he have ended up on the same tribe in place of Lauren? Or would he or someone else have picked differently? Would different tribes have won different challenges? I would say probably yes to every question I just asked.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like, you know, that butterfly you talked about last week that I crushed.
You did crush my butterfly.
Yes. It's that one decision had too many chaotic outcomes to know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of chaotic outcomes, I think that if everything about her game had been exactly the same, except for the secret idol connection, between Ryan and Chrissy that manifested after the swap, I doubt anyone would be criticizing her earlier decisions like they are now. Again, I think it's way too much 2020 hindsight.
Mm-hmm. No, I like the soapbox. I think that's great because I actually, when I was going through this, I thought it was rather interesting that I believe in one of the, I have to go back here. Excuse me if I flip paper and you hear some paper flipping. But she did end, back in episode one, when she was talking to Patrick, it was the, I got your back if you've got mine. That was what they told each other. And then that was the same thing that she and Ryan spoke about as well, was that they had each other's back. You know, she said, I think as recently as episode five, how she was, I have Ryan, you know, I've got his back. I've got to protect Ryan. So I do think it was an interesting juxtaposition to see that, you know, she and Patrick had that idea that they were going to have each other's backs. But I also think that her reasoning for getting rid of Patrick made sense. You can't rely solely on that secret relationship, which is hysterical because she and Patrick had a secret relationship and Chrissy and Ryan had a secret relationship that neither one knew about. I'm sure Ryan didn't know about the Patrick and Allie connection. And if he had, I think he would have wanted to break that up really quickly. So, you know, it's certainly an interesting thing to compare and contrast, but I think her decision for getting rid of Patrick made sense for the game that he was playing versus the game she needed to play. He wasn't going to further her game. And she even said that in one of her confessionals, that she was at a point with Patrick where she needed to make a decision because she had to do what was best for her game. And Patrick was not going to help her get further in the game, especially, as you said, if he ended up on a different tribe and after the swap and started acting like a maniac, or what did you call him? A cocaine monkey, I believe.
Yes, so, yes, I believe that was the term.
You know, and then the problem you run into is that's the person you're now associated to. Let's say crazy situation. Yes, Patrick stays. They do the swap. Nobody votes him out and they come back to the merge. And then Patrick's like, hey, Allie, it's you and me again. And now you're still playing with someone who's a little bit out there. And how is that going to help you? So yeah, it's an interesting, I like it. It's very interesting.
Right. And the thing is, if she had made it, you know, past this vote, she would have had Lauren to go back to.
Yeah.
You know, she might have still had something to do with Ryan. She might have had Devin. There were other possibilities. And so looking back and saying, oh, they should have gotten, you know, she should have gotten rid of Lauren or Ryan or something else, she trusted them. There was no reason for her to do it at the time.
Right.
And I don't think that you can look back and say that. So, you
definitely have to look at who you're playing the game with and make determinations long term, how that person's personality is going to affect other people in the game. Because if you are associated with them, that can be a problematic relationship to have if you're the person who's close with the one that's driving everybody insane. You know, so the fact that she wanted to stick with Lauren and Ryan versus Simone and Patrick, I think makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Right. Especially since even, you know, if you look at some of her other interviews, she said there was never any option other than Simone. Simone was, I believe her words were, Simone was always going to be the first person voted out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what was she going to do? Stand up for her and say, no, I'm loyal to her, and have everybody else against her?
Yeah.
I that wouldn't have made sense.
No, it's all very interesting.
So, you know, the only other thing I was going to say about the second rule was what we already discussed. So with that said, we can move on to the third rule, which tells players they need to be flexible. So how do you think Allie did here?
Well, I think that she was flexible because she realized, it's hard because there's such small tribes, you know, but she didn't stick by Simone, you know, she didn't stick by Patrick, even though I think she wanted to. I think she clearly struggled with the Patrick relationship. So I think she was flexible earlier in the game. I don't know if she was as flexible as she needed to be after the swap, because that's where, like, I think the, you know, the Rourke relationship, although she wanted to work with Rourke, I think that, you know, the problems that she had with Chrissy was, it was going to be a problem for her. I mean, it was one of those weird, I kind of like looked at it like Chrissy doesn't like Rourke and therefore she's not going to like Allie because Allie and Rourke are close, you know? So she really needed to work the Chrissy angle better than I think she did, and kind of, I don't know. And she even said she didn't really talk to JP at all. I think she said she talked to him maybe once about strategy. Not that that surprises me, but if yeah. you are, if you're
short
trying
conversations,
right. You know, if you're trying to figure out where you are in this new tribe, you really have to start forming those relationships with everyone. And I think that's where she lost some of that flexibility once the swap occurred.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that she was kind of in the situation where, you know, she had talked to Chrissy. She had, you know, sort of talked strategy with Chrissy, although the way she described it was, Chrissy said, this is the way we're going to vote and this is why. And, you know, was not terribly flexible herself, according to Allie. But, you know, on Allie's side, she thought she was in a majority.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she thought she had positioned herself well. Her biggest problem was that Ryan had positioned himself better.
That is true. And that's the problem with such small tribes. You know, you really, right. your options are so limited. And the fact that you're dealing with someone, and I hate to even say things like this, but someone like JP that's so easily swayed, it's kind of unfortunate when you have a tribe that's so small to begin with, and then there's one person that's not really thinking strategically. It's just more of a, oh, okay, that's what you want me to do. That's what we're going to do, you know? And
yeah,
yeah, and that's hard on for everyone's game, because you're not necessarily having a chance to talk strategy with that person, because that person doesn't really strategize. So yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
All right. So the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. And I think there was obviously a bit of a problem here when they got back from the Rourke Tribal Council. And the worst part was that Allie knew it, because in her interviews, she said she knew she was supposed to come back and act calm and appear to be okay with it. But then when she asked Ryan what had happened, he got defensive. Her emotions, you know, then kicked in, got the better of her. And she made it clear that she was not okay with what happened, which pretty much ensured that Ryan knew he could never really win her back, you know, and trust her. And there was really no way he could work with her going forward.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting in his one of his confessionals. He said that it was a really bad look for Allie when she kept being so aggressive. But I thought the whole thing was rather fascinating, because I didn't really think that she was being aggressive. I think she was trying to figure out what happened, and she wasn't accepting the response he was giving her. But he was really on the defensive. And I thought it was rather amusing that Chrissy didn't say anything. I don't know if she was like sitting there like off to the side, and she was probably enjoying it very much that these two were going at each other the way that they were. But I think it makes sense that she wanted to figure out what had happened. And in one of her interviews, she said, you know, I didn't take him aside and talk to him and try to figure it out, because everyone had just seen what he did. So everyone should not be surprised that I'm trying to figure it out. But maybe it would have been better for her to say, hey, Ryan, can we go talk? And then way, you know, she wouldn't have been blowing up, excuse me, in front of everybody.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, that was not a conversation to have in front of everybody, because, you know, she's not in a position where she should be calling him on the carpet in front of the rest of the tribe, because the rest of the tribe voted with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she's going to flip them on Ryan, because they were with Ryan.
Right.
So, yeah, I think a one-on-one would have been a better way to handle it. And, of course, you know, like I said, she knew she shouldn't get upset. It was just that his kind of non-answer got her upset. Well, now she knows why he was giving her a non-answer, because mm-hmm. he couldn't tell her the real reason.
Right.
So, you know, but she definitely could have handled it better.
Mm-hmm.
So, we move to the fifth rule, which tells players to pretend to be nice and play the social game. And I do think Allie did quite well here, especially early on, was able to make inroads with almost everyone, from Rourke to Lauren to Ryan to Devin. You know, in her day after video, she noted that she got along with different people from different backgrounds. And, you know, in a different interview, she told Mike Bloom that she knew she had to go out and be a chameleon. So she tried to connect with people on their level, both listening to people and sharing her own stories, getting to know people as much as she could. And I'd say there was a reason that she was the center of everything that was going on at the original Hustlers tribe. And I think that reason was just her social game in general. Did you see any issues here?
No, I really didn't. I was always impressed with her ability to bring people in that, you know, that did seem to be on the outs. I mean, you had Patrick. She was kind of the sounding board with Patrick, telling him that he needed to calm down, or, you know, what was happening and that people were talking about him and his behaviors, his mannerisms. She was guiding Simone about needing to be more like just trying to show that she's able to handle the elements better than she was actually presenting herself in front of the tribe, and did connect with Lauren in a way that no one else necessarily was connecting with Lauren. So I think that she did. She was great. I really do think she played a great social game because she really did seem to have a good relationship with everyone. Her problem is one of the people she had a great relationship with was he's playing the game. You know? Yeah.
Maybe that's what she meant. You referenced it earlier that she said she wasn't really going to start playing the game until the merge. You know, maybe this social aspect wasn't her playing the game so much as just being social, pretending to be nice, getting to know people. Mm-hmm. And then later was when she was going to really hit it hard.
Yeah, no, and that's probably maybe that's Allie and that's how she is, and that she's just going to be a nice person to people. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work in Survivor.
Yeah. So the sixth rule, I think we may have a little bit more to talk about here, warns players against being too much of a threat. And I would say this was clearly a problem for Allie, and a lot of it related back to how well she did with the social game we just discussed in the fifth rule. You mentioned this already, so what do you think?
Well, I think that she actually mentions it in one of her interviews that Ryan definitely saw her social game as a threat because they were playing very similar social games. And it's one of those things we could go back and we could look at, you know, the Rourke and Chrissy issue. Chrissy thought Rourke was very similar to her, which means Rourke's got to go. So if Ryan is looking at Allie as someone who is playing a very similar social game like he's playing, well, she might have to go because he, I'm sure, is thinking long term and how that's going to play out in a merge. And someone like Allie would probably find it very easy to come to emerge and start creating relationships with people she's never met before because she's clearly good at it. So in a merge situation, someone who is very likable and someone who can connect with people easily, that's a huge threat in the merge because that's the person who's going to be working the numbers and is going to know, you know, the checking in with everybody. That's Allie. That's what she would have been doing come merge. She would have been checking in with everybody. She probably would have known where people were, you know, were at with various votes, because I think people would have come to Allie and they would have been willing to share. She already had a great relationship with Lauren, and Lauren has managed to create great relationships in her new tribe. So she would have had that benefit as well. So yeah, I think that she was clearly a threat in the merge if she had continued to play the social game that she was playing.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, you know, Steven said in his blog that every reason Chrissy and Ryan talked about on the show for potentially voting out JP was actually a reason to keep JP.
Yes.
He may win challenges, which will both mean someone on their side is winning instead of someone who isn't on their side. And then he'll also therefore act as a shield in case someone else gets power. And of course, we know JP isn't really playing the game, which means he probably won't turn on them as long as they're the ones pulling his strings.
Yeah.
And like you said, Allie has already shown how good she was in forming alliances, creating social bonds, and so on. And, you know, I think Ryan could have used that potentially to his advantage if he hadn't already left her out of the Rourke vote.
Yes, and that's, I was just going to say that if things had been different and that Rourke situation hadn't have occurred, I think he could have used it to his benefit. But the fact that he had already cut her off, he couldn't go into the merge with her because she would be going to people like Devin and Lauren and saying, hey, guess what he did to me? Well, she's been voted out. So clearly there's going to have to be some explanation to Devin and Lauren about what happened with Allie. And I'm sure he'll come up with some creative story as to why that happened. But she would have been against Ryan going into the merge. And that would have been a huge issue for his game, because she would have been, I think, rallying people to take out Ryan.
Yeah. And I mean, all he has to do now is say that she joined with Rourke to turn on him. And he was stunned when it happened, because she's not there to tell any other side of the story.
Exactly. And, hopefully JP won't know what's going on, so he won't be able to tell anybody.
What do you mean, hopefully?
Okay, he won't know.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, even Allie herself told Josh that she was indeed more of a threat to bring forward. And Jeff Probst also told Josh that she was an all-around threat who, under different circumstances, could win the game in several different ways. There's a reason that Jeff was talking about wanting to bring her back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that brings us to new Rule 7, not the old Rule 7, new Rule 7, which talks about how to get and use idols and advantages. And unfortunately for Allie, she didn't have either, because she didn't find the idol back at the original Hustlers camp, and it was gone from her swap tribe location before she even got there. Mm. Now, we do know from her interviews that because she knew she was in trouble, she spent a lot of time and effort looking for idols. But by the time that happened, there was nothing for her to find. She even said she searched the pizzas, which I believe you said on Twitter at the time was a great place to look.
Yes.
But, you know, no special toppings.
I'm telling you, when I was out there, we ripped apart everything. When no one was looking, you were like, that could be hiding something. Yeah, definitely. You looked everywhere. Absolutely.
Maybe that's why Jeff Varner was holding the top of the pizza box in that episode where he got voted out. He thought it was an immunity idol.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
So now we move on to old Rule 7, otherwise known as Appendix A. And
I think you should change the name of this one.
Change it to...
This is the weak and the strong and the weak and the strong, right?
Yes, yes.
So you should just call this the Rob hate rule or something. Or yeah. You know, I made this for Rob rule.
We'll workshop that.
Yeah, something about, because it keeps coming back to Rob. You're like, yes. I purposely switched this as an appendix. Yeah, there should be something regarding Rob in there.
All about Rob.
Ooh, I that's good. All about Rob. Let's get to the appendix. All about Rob. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry.
That's okay. With Allie saying, I just have to get rid of the strong, there's obviously been a fair amount of discussion about this appendix in the past few days. So the question is, did Ryan and Chrissy do the right thing, or should they have targeted JP in contradiction to what we were saying in the sixth rule about how much of a threat she was?
No, I don't think they did the wrong thing. I think they did the absolute right thing, because JP, he's the guy you want to play the game with. He's that guy. He's the guy that's going to, he's going to bring you food. He's going to take care of you at camp. And he is not the guy that you have to worry about strategically manipulating people behind your back. And yeah, if he wins immunity and you're aligned with him, it doesn't matter, because he's on your side. So you don't need to worry about it. So going into a merge, if you've got JP in your back pocket, which I think Chrissy absolutely does, and she's smart enough to recognize that, it was so much of a better option for Ryan and Chrissy to keep JP.
So that brings up the question, though. The rule says to vote out the strong, and Adam Van Vugt, I don't know, I'm mangling that pronunciation, so I apologize if he's listening, said to me on Twitter, isn't getting rid of the strong getting rid of her, though, meaning Allie. He said, I think she is a better player, therefore stronger than he is. And as we've been, you know, kind of already getting towards here, he's correct.
That is true.
We've already discussed how she would have been a much stronger competitor. And, you know, I mentioned at the top of the podcast that I was getting ready to change my view on JP, but then I didn't, and I shouldn't have. Specifically, I noted that we've heard other players saying he brings nothing to the table from a game standpoint, and some of the smarter players might use that to their advantage. For example, of course, we saw how Chrissy turned him instantly to get him to vote out Rourke. she didn't really have to do much to manipulate him. And that should be the kind of guy you want around for a little while, like you were saying.
Right.
At least as long as you're the one doing the manipulating, which, you know, appears to be what Chrissy and Ryan determined. Because the merge is coming soon, we are indeed at the point of voting out the strong. When Allie said she wanted to get rid of the strong while voting, she was thinking about pure challenge strength, you know, that aspect.
Yes.
But we have to remember that this appendix notes, strong has varied meanings. It can mean those who are literally strong and thus able to win the physical reward and immunity challenges. If you boot them when they are vulnerable, you won't have to worry about them later. But strong also means those who can organize others. And so, you know, looking at this case here, in this particular case, there were two quote unquote strong choices of different types. There was JP, the literal strongman, and Allie, the social organizer. Now, that's not always true, but looking at it here, it's clear to me, and you've already said it, so, you know, but we'll say it one more time. Allie was by far the stronger survivor player of the two.
Yes. And things like that.
And
yes, all absolutely. Right. You got to get it in there at least once.
Yes. Yes, because the show has not been giving us enough of that.
No. So
enough of things like that.
Oh, it's so true.
So before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts that we haven't hit about Allie?
Oh, I think that Allie definitely showed a lot of promise, which I was pleasantly surprised going into the initial casting and just seeing her versus the other individuals. I didn't think that she was going to be, as I'm going to use the word, an exceptional player as she was, because she really did have the social game down. I do think, though, for her, she struggled with the difference between being friendly in real life versus being friendly on the island, that you can create relationships on the island, but you also need to determine what those relationships are being created for. And they're supposed to be for furthering your game. And, you know, Allie, I think, got a little caught up in needing to have a friend, like a girlfriend, and she found Rourke. I think Rourke could have done an exceptional job in this game too, if the two of them had been playing together and made it further in the game. I think it would have been an incredible thing to see. But she aligned herself with Ryan, and that's where, and she did say it, and you've mentioned it in her day after video, that the best part of her game was actually the cause of the worst part of her game, and that was Ryan. And that's sad for Allie, because I think she showed so much promise.
All right. So my final thoughts.
Which are always so much better than mine.
No. So I said last week that it cannot be denied that the swap combined with the secret advantage linking Ryan and Chrissy definitely put Rourke into a bad position. And this week, Allie was in a similar spot. But once again, I go back to Rourke's last words, where she said, "I always think there's something someone can do." I would apply them to Allie here as well. Allie thought she came into the swap with a good situation. But as I've said, sometimes you just get out-schemed. In her day after video, Allie said she thought she was paired up with someone who would look out for her while she was looking out for him, but he was looking out for himself. She also said, it just comes down to whether your game plan is the same as somebody else's. Allie, like you said, trusted Ryan a bit too much and then allowed herself to become just emotional enough to show him there was no turning back after he crossed her. But even if she hadn't, it's very possible he was never going to keep her at this vote because she was too much of a liability and a threat to him. Allie was too strong a player for her own good in this situation. Chrissy and Ryan found themselves in a choice where they could take a good player or a lump of clay. There are situations where you'd want to take a good player over a bad one because people like that, the good players, are more predictable if you know what they're doing. But when you're dealing with what appears to be little more than an action figure where you can create the story while he just stands there and looks pretty, you've got to take him along and leave the good player behind.
I'm dying.
And that is why Allie
lost. So good. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing at JP, but wow, I love it. Oh, this is the thing about Survivor. There's so many things that it's like a perfect storm. And sometimes all of those things align that you are completely not in control of. And in Allie's case, it's really, you know, there was all of these things outside of her control. There's a super idol she doesn't know about. There is the action figure. You know, there's all of these components that definitely, yeah, they just work against you sometimes. Those Survivor gods are tough.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So now that we've wrapped that up, we move on to predictions. And since you predicted correctly last week, I thought I'd let you go first this week. And all I'm going to say is it had better not be Desi. And, you know, Rob already mentioned on the voicemail show that he's thinking that she might be in danger, because I will not be able to handle sitting there with you watching this together.
That's if right. It's Desi. Oh, that would be so much fun. I think I should just say it's Desi. Well, here's my thing. I have kind of this might take a little bit of time, because I kind of worked through this to try to figure out. Obviously, I'm not good at predictions. I got lucky last week, but I want to say the more obvious, and honestly, Desi was on my radar. I'm not even going to lie. It was between Desi and Cole as people that I thought would be potential merge boots. And, you know, Cole, I think he's someone that he's definitely been rubbing some people the wrong way, and he's obviously very strong. And so I think this is my theory. And I went with Cole over Desi, but I have another theory that I'm going to share with you after. So I went with Cole, and because once they have the merge, there's going to be a merge feast, right? So they're going to have all of this food. That we all know Cole likes food, and we all know that Cole likes to take food from other people. And I think we might run into a little bit of a Taylor situation here, that if he starts taking too much food because he feels like he deserves it, he's going to continue to rub people the wrong way, like Lauren and Ben, who are already very vocal about some of his behaviors. And I realize he has a relationship with Jessica. But I know that Mike is trying very hard to get in between those two. And there was a secret scene with Dr. Mike and I can't remember what exactly he said, but it was basically, you know, how Cole has to go, that I'm with Jessica, and I realize that Jessica likes Cole and Cole likes Jessica, but Cole needs to go because I'm working with Jessica. And I think Mike might be able to play that out well.
It's funny that you say he wants to get in between them, because Jessica literally offered him the chance to get between them, and he didn't.
Wasn't that creepy? So. That was a little creepy, because then Cole was like, I could rub your back. It was weird. The whole thing was weird. So that's my, like, I think Cole would be the obvious merge boot, because there's a relationship with Jessica that I think people are not going to be real happy with. He clearly runs his mouth and tells everybody, you know, the secrets that he shouldn't be sharing with people. And there's going to be the issue with the food. So I don't know if it'll be real exciting, but that was I think it's going to happen. But here's the other crazy thing I thought of. And if this happens, I will be so excited. I'm telling you, it'll be amazing. We've spent so much time just in this podcast talking about who? Ryan. Yeah, we talked a lot about Ryan. And I think a lot of Allie's edit is because of Ryan. You know, that's the relationship, because people have commented that she's getting a great edit and that people thought she was getting a winner's edit. And for someone who got booted pre-merge, she got a lot of airtime. Now, granted, they went to tribal council like almost all the time, so you can't really control that. But it still seems like CBS was doing a lot for Allie to try to tell Allie's story, even though Allie's story is now done. But Allie's story continues with Ryan, because when we get into the merge, Ryan is going to have to see Lauren and Devin again, and he is going to have to explain to them what happened. But here's the problem that I do think they're going to run into. I think they're going to run into a problem with JP. I really do. Like, I feel like JP is finally going to see the light and realize that he needs to start playing this game. And if he starts having conversations with someone like Ben, who is someone that he's familiar with and has, he's kind of, and I'm using air quotes when I say kind of, had strategic discussions with Ben when they were together on the Heroes. He might talk to Ben about, you know, what happened. And Ben might then talk to Lauren because Lauren and Ben are getting close. And that information might come back to Devin from Lauren that, listen, Ryan stuck it to Allie and he cut her legs out from under her. We don't want to work with Ryan. And I feel like if the survivor gods like come together, and that Ryan could potentially go home. I could see it happening. And that would make the Allie edit make so much more sense.
Well, I think the hardest part for me to believe in all of that is JP seeing the light.
I know. And the only reason I say that is because I think it was at the tribal council when, I think it was just this past one, when Jeff basically like called him out and was like, you gotta start playing the game, basically. Like, you're not doing anything. And he said that there was a wake up call. Like, I think he said that in tribal council. That was kind of a wake up call. So who knows? I mean, maybe all of, but that would be amazing. If that actually happened, that would be incredible, because then it kind of would explain why there's been so much attention on this Allie Ryan situation.
Yeah, I think if anything, it is less likely he sees the light and more likely he reverts to Ashley and she starts telling the story for the action figure instead of Chrissy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's more likely. As far as my prediction, it's kind of a letdown that, you know, I had you go first because you basically said everything I was going to say.
Oh, you picked Cole too?
yes. And for much the same reasons. Now, I will say, you know, I looked at the latest preview clip that came out, the commercial, and I'm very confused by it. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't watch it, actually.
Okay. So it shows the players starving and talks about the players starving. But we already know from the preview at the end of the last show that the merge is here. And the merge, we know, means a merge feast. So I don't know if CBS has forgotten that they told us the merge was coming. I really don't know what to make of that particular clip.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, it does mean, the merge does mean targeting the strong players, just like Allie said. And I do think certain healers will become targets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you said everything else. I even have about his food hogging ways and everything else. So we were thinking exactly along the same lines.
We were. There. And then my crazy other half of my brain was like, but wouldn't it be more fun if Ryan went home? And I couldn't get that thought out of my head. And I was like, oh, that would be incredible, because it would make so much. It would explain so many things. But yeah, I think it's going to be cool.
If this is the start of the jury, which it usually is, but not always, it would make it interesting if Ryan is the mayor of Ponderosa, mm-hmm. as opposed to like if Cole is the mayor of Ponderosa.
Oh my God, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, so.
There won't be any food left if Cole gets there first. He'll be hiding it in his room. It'll be like, yeah. He's hoarding it.
Now, I said earlier that I had another prediction for this phase here. And I want to plant my flag for a prediction further into the future.
Ooh.
And I know I'm not the only one who has noticed this, but when Chrissy voted out Allie, Allie talked in interviews about how Chrissy not only lied to her, but went overboard and talked about how excited she would be to see her family, and Allie would get to hug her sister at the family visit and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it got really personal. And, you know, I guess that's fine for the pre-jury, although Allie has different opinions on it. But if Chrissy keeps doing that after the merge and she makes it to the end, she is going to have a lot of very bitter jurors out for her blood.
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, at this point with Chrissy's game, I don't see her winning. I really don't. Because if you are offending people in that fashion, that's not a winning combination at all. That's really not. That's not playing the social game the way that you should be playing it.
Right. Now, maybe she knows it's the pre-jury, so it doesn't matter. Maybe she'll switch it up. But if she keeps going, you know, then I think she's in trouble. She's already said things in web confessionals indicating that she knows coming off as the mom of the group isn't always the best thing. You know, but being the older, and I use big air quotes for older because she's younger than me, being the older woman and playing on emotions and then stabbing people in the back, that is a sure way to hand the $1 million check to someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was saying, that maybe Ryan sees that. Maybe Ryan knows that. And he's saying, there is no way Chrissy can win. I want to take her to the end.
Yeah, no, that is, I think that's definitely true.
So we'll just have to remember, if she makes it that far, we'll remember to come back to this podcast and say, see, yeah. All right. So now we need a hashtag. You have any ideas?
Oh my God. Can we do lump of clay?
I was wondering if you were going to pick that or action figure.
Action figure is great too. And I know I'm sorry. It's Allie. It should be about Allie, but those, either of those, that's really funny. That made me laugh a lot.
All right. Well, we can use either, but I'd say, I'd say lump of clay is the better one.
I like lump of clay. That's great.
As we said before, he is moldable. So
that is true. He is moldable. So lump of clay is perfect. Yeah. Sorry, JP. So,
I doubt he's listening.
Oh, my word.
That's like when Cole apologized on Twitter for his hangry behavior. And he said, I especially apologize to Lauren. Lauren's not on Twitter.
You know what? She was on Twitter, though, for like 5 minutes, wasn't she?
Oh, was she? I don't remember. Yeah. But if she was, he didn't tag her. So.
Yeah. No, she had. I'm pretty sure the last tweet was regarding the amount of. She's like, I've been on Twitter for 5 minutes and I'm already having to respond to like 240 comments about redheads or something. It was. Yeah. So she's just off Twitter now because there was so much backlash regarding her redheaded, you know, comments that she made. So she just was like, I'm done.
All right. So in addition to the lump of clay hashtag, of course, there is the hashtag for this podcast overall, YXLost. Everybody listening should make sure you subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor. We are also on the Reality TV Rehapups feed if you want to get that. In both places, you can find all the great RHAP content, everything from know-it-alls to the Wiggle Room to the RHAP B&B to much, much more. Also, everyone should check out the various blogs at robhasawebsite.com/blog. You can follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89.
Yes.
And I'm at David Bloomberg, both on Twitter and Snapchat. I intend to Snapchat some karaoke if anybody fun is doing that. thanks as always to Will from America for the theme song. Thanks to you, Jessica, for another great episode. And I will see you in under 48 hours podcast goes live.
It's going to be so weird.
Now, some of the other people listening, I may see you within 24 hours at that aforementioned karaoke. Everyone else who can't make it to New York, believe me, I know how it feels because I've missed it every time until now. And we will see you back here a week from now.
Excellent.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If you're a survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. This is why blank lost.